So, have you noticed the change in society in the last 5 years? Now, I know there's some hallmark changes that you'll know in your life. If you're older than about 15, you'll know there's been major changes in our society, in our life, in our expectations of things. If you remember before 9/11, that's 2001. Our society and our whole being was very different. And as things have progressed, it's not been for the better. And that has trickled down into our congregations and into our own personal lives. So, with each generation and each decade, there seems to be one or two things that crop up in the congregations and in the church as to what it seems to be harming us as Christians. I was asked by Bruce a few weeks ago, said, what do you think is the thing that is bothering us as Christians in the churches today? Why is it? Look around you. I was talking to a brother a few minutes ago. I remember being in congregations where there were 200-300 people easily. And it was hard to find a place to sit. Now, look around you. What changed? What's the thing? And you already know the topic. What's the thing that's changed? We had divorce and remarriage. We had all these different things. And yes, each one in their own right had a problem. And it did take a lot of souls away. Satan knows how to get to us. And he's doing a fine job. But you know who allows that to happen? You. Me. Satan won't and can't. He has no power over you that you don't let him have. So when Bruce and I were talking, we thought, apathy. COVID hit. Our whole attitude changed. Oh, you can stay home. You can get paid to stay home. You don't need to have a job. Oh, I'll just pay my bills for nothing. Oh, well, hey, I can. All sorts of things changed. Ask yourself, are you better today spiritually than you were before COVID? Ask yourself, is your brother or sister that's not here better because of COVID? Apathy is what Satan is using. Is I don't care. I don't care. It's somebody else's problem. You know, I was in an accident a few years back. People stopped. A lot of people stopped. Last December, I had another accident. No one stopped. There was a whole bunch of cars all around me. A lot of witnesses. As soon as the accident happened, they all vanished. Why? Not my problem. I don't care. Fine, Satan says. If you don't care, then that's good. Because you're not going to help anybody else get to heaven either. And what is a job for our job that God has given us? It's to help each other to get to heaven. Ask yourself, how many of your brothers and sisters have you helped? This is not the only congregation that's evaporating. It breaks my heart. We're not talking numbers, we're talking souls. Mine included. And yours. Apathy says, I don't really care because it doesn't bother me now. We talked about that in class in Proverbs. The fool says, it means nothing to me now. I don't care because right now I'm okay. They don't think about the future. They don't think about tomorrow. Yeah, Rich is probably going crazy. What's the next PowerPoint point? But I'm telling you, apathy is the thing that's killing us. Revelation, this is where Jesus is telling John about the different churches in Asia. And think about Laodicea. Is Laodicea was a town, a city back then that was known for its medicine. It was known because they had volcanic activity underground in that area and the water was lukewarm, but it was so full of minerals. It was almost a chalky. And they would make a paste out of it. And they would put it over the eyes and salves. And then that town, that city was wealthy. It was oozing, if you would, with wealth. Because people flocked to that city for healing. And the people there had really no need of anything. Because they self-sustained, because people came to them. What did Jesus say through John to the church at Laodicea? Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Jesus pointing out to the brethren at Laodicea, you're apathetic. You're not zealous. You're not one or the other. You're in the middle. And matter of fact, the reference to vomit, what is that? That's not health, is it? That's illness. And what's Laodicea known for? Health. He's telling the brethren, you're not healthy. You're dead. The scriptures are there for us to learn. The joke is, I don't care. It's funny. But sometimes things that are so true and so stark, they're funny, but they really have a meaning if you really think about it. Jesus' most powerful, if you would, criticism was to the church at Laodicea. What was their main sin? Apathy. Look around you, brethren. How many people have you talked to this week? How many people do you know that are headed for hell? Go to your next door neighbor. Go to the person you work with. Go to the person you go to school with. Now, don't answer except in your mind. How many of those people have you reached out to? What is apathy? Apathy is defined as lack of interest, lack of enthusiasm, lack of concern, lack of responsiveness, impassivity, and the list goes on. I don't know if it's still up there. Oh, there you go. Richard, you did a lot of typing. Thank you. The opposite of it, the apathy is enthusiasm, interest, passion. Would you say Christ was apathetic? Let's see. A person who suffers for somebody he doesn't even... Well, he knows all of us. I'll say it that way. He suffered and he died for the sole reason for saving our souls. There was no apathy there. If we're Christians, if we're striving to be Christians and we're striving to get to heaven, how are we matching up to Christ? Lack of action. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he who observes himself goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. Notice it said nothing about sitting back and let somebody else do it. It puts doing and hearing together. If we are Christians and we hear the word, we know the word, and we do nothing, I fear for our souls when it comes day for judgment, when somebody's pointing their finger at us saying, hey, why didn't you save me? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you help save me? Oh, because I was apathetic. Lack of love. Did Christ have lack of love for us? Can you think of anybody who hates you is willing to give you your life, their life for you? No. Christ loves us. Do we love our man, our fellow man? Do we love our brethren? Do you love yourself? If you don't love yourself, fine, be apathetic. You will not get to heaven. But if you don't love somebody else and love your brethren, you don't want to go to heaven either. Lack of love. John 14:15. For if you love me, keep my commandments. Obey what Christ has for us to do. Love others. John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Love for God. Matthew 22:36-40. Teacher, which is the greater commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. As yourself. If you're in a burning building, you get yourself out. If you love your children, you're going to try to get them out too. As yourself. Verse 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I also suggest to you that apathy comes from selfishness. It's just like those people that were the witnesses on that day of the accident for me. Not my problem. All right. That tells me what kind of individual they were. Selfish. As Christians, we ought not be selfish. It's not how Christ taught us. Philippians 2:1-6. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal to God. If you want to see God, you want to go to heaven, these are some things you need to really consider. Are you looking out for others? In short, apathy is sin. Apathy is wrong. And Satan loves it. He wants you and I have be filled with apathy. He wants us to have apathy. Brethren, don't do it. This is a problem not of the church. It's a problem for us as individuals. It started in society, and everything that happens in society trickles into us, into our congregations. Because why? We're part of it. What causes this apathy? There's so many reasons. I'm only touching a few. But everybody can have their own. I've even heard some people say, well, that preacher was so negative when I was a young child, I don't care anymore. They're putting the apathy and the blame on someone else. You say that answer to God in Day of Judgment. That's all I have to say. You answer that to God. Now what kind of excuse are you going to have? No matter, there we go. Ignorance is the first one. But I'm going to tell you, there are so many, and everybody may have a different one. But here's one. Ignorance. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I shall also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. I think we talked about that in class. Preoccupation. I got to do this more. If I got to do this first, I got to do that first. Oh, no, we'll wait. We call that procrastination. Preoccupation. Acts chapter 24, verse 25. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and who are we talking about? Yeah, Paul is sharing the gospel with his judge. And the judge is now saying, let me repeat. Now, as he reasoned about the righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. The history that we know of probably indicates that he never had a convenient time. Laziness. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 and 31. I went by a field of a lazy man and by that vineyard of a man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stones wall were broken down. How about selfishness? We talked about that a few moments ago. Luke chapter 12, verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Just like the Laodiceans. Lack of love. Romans chapter 14, verse 15. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one whom Christ died. Now there's a phrase in here. Walk in. I don't know if you all understand this. But when you walk in something, you're in it. It's not that you dabble your foot into it a little bit. Put a little foot in the pool. No, you're not putting your little foot in the pool. How about in the mud? I'm going to put my little foot in the mud. How about you when you're walking in the mud? Now you're in it. It's not that you touched it. It's not that you're a little bit in it. You're always in it. Walking in the scriptures, when it says walking in, scriptures are wanting you to understand it's a way of life. Walking means the way of life. And what does it say? It says, you're no longer walking in love. Love is not your primary point. So those who are having lack of love. Now, I'll tell you, some of us, if you're human like I am, there are plenty of times in my life that I'll say, right there, I did not have love. But I'll guarantee you, it's my hope, it's not my walk of life to have lack of love. But everybody has that moment. But it doesn't mean you're walking in it. Fantasy. Now this one, everybody pick your feet up. Because I'm going to step on some toes. Since Disney, 1955, had a fantastic concept. Have a place that your brain and your mind can escape for a little while with fantasies. Fantasy land this, fantasy land that, and you have all this fantasy. The whole empire of Disney. Now, this is where Rich is probably going bananas as I'm jumping. We'll talk about that in a minute. But fantasy has a problem in our country. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Is futility, what does that mean, futility? It means not getting it where you want to go. Are you wanting to get to heaven? Then it's futile to think about things on this earth that you just don't care. That's not going to get you to heaven. That's futile. Gentiles, they had a futility in mind. It is all today, not the future. Apathy is contagious. Oh, and by the way, I'll go back. I don't know about you, but I like Winnie the Pooh. And I also, my next favorite would be Eeyore. Yes, thanks for noticing. But Disney has changed, brother. It went from fantasy to taking over our mind. And now they're putting into their products LGBTQRSTUWXYZ. And we swallow it. Oh, we like it. It's in there. I don't care. I like it. How's your apathy feeling with that fantasy? Now, I like Disney. I do. But their recent products and the recent things that they're doing, that's now no longer appropriate. Now, we do live in a society where a lot of things are bad. Oh, it's not as bad as such and such. Ooh. How bad is bad for God? God does not draw a line of gray. Oh, you can see in this area, it's gray. It's okay. It's black and white, brother. Apathy is contagious. It's dangerous. Jeroboam, incited other people to have apathy. Who is Jeroboam? Jeroboam was the opposite of Rehoboam. He's the one who took over Israel, top 10 tribes. 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 28 through 30. Therefore, the king also asked advice, made 2 calves of gold, and said to the people, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from land of Egypt." And he set up one in Bethel and one put in down in Dan, up in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. Jeroboam was told, hey, it's apathy, it's okay. It's more convenient to do this over here. He helped 10 tribes go against God. When one person is apathetic, others become apathetic as well. Brethren, don't go to the hospital by yourself. I have been to too many, my father included, too many times I've gone to the hospital. The hospital's where you're supposed to get better. They care for you. They're there to help you. I'm sorry to tell you, brethren, it's not what it was 10 years ago. Since COVID, I watched 5 nurses. My dad had his call button on, as well as about 4 or 5 other lights on that wing. And 5 nurses standing around with their phones going, hey, what do you think about this? I was the only advocate for that, any patient on that floor. And I finally went up to those 5 and I said, we need help. Oh, we'll get to you in a minute. I said, no, he really needs help now. No, hold on, what's your name? Then I started writing things down. Oh, things started happening. Don't go to the hospital by yourself, brother. Why? Because apathy is now in not just any old circles. It's all in the places you think it shouldn't be. and churches included. I teach elementary school as well. I'm going to tell you, I see it every day. Students and parents don't care. Not to the degree they used to. Places of business, tire companies. I have been to so many businesses in the last 2 years. They can't get enough people to fill whatever it is. And when you do have an employee, well, that's okay. I can do a half job. Apathy, brethren, is going to kill us spiritually. Our politicians, it's not any big deal to have. You already can figure that one out. You shall not follow the crowd to do evil. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 2, you shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. Apathy results in atrophy. Atrophy, if you don't know what that means, it's a medical term. It means your tissue is becoming less and less strong. Muscles become less and less strong because of lack of nutrition, lack of use. Those are the two main, trauma could be in there too. What is apathy? It's lack of use. It's lack of nutrition. How many here are not getting the food, spiritual food? How many open the Bible for food? Now, well, I'm not talking about your meat and potatoes. I'm talking about what's the scripture food. The food that's going to make you stronger spiritually. When we get together, brethren, how does apathy show up here in our congregations? Oh, well, you know, we can have our shorter period of time. Oh, we can make, man, would you really need Wednesday night? Oh, I know we've always had two services on Sunday, but we don't really need to have one of them. We just have one. Oh, how about this? Lord's Supper? Spend 2 minutes on that. Why are we here? Are we here to worship? Are we here to learn? Are we here to show respect? Memorial, that's what the Lord's Supper is. Are we showing respect and memorializing Christ's sacrifice and His life and our salvation? I'm thinking about the football games. I'm taking this Lord's Supper. Okay, yeah, I know I'm here. When's this thing up? That guy's, he talks too much. Singing, they have a good enough voice. I'll just sit here. Apathy means you don't. That's right. Apathy means you don't. You don't do. You don't love. You don't think. You don't care. You don't have righteousness. You can keep on with all the don'ts. But apathy is the whole thing. You don't. For every one of those you don'ts, it proves to you and others you don't care. And neither will God when it's day of judgment. He won't care about you. Because you will not be going and living with Him. Talking to a sister recently who tries her very best to spread the gospel in everywhere she goes. And what she's doing, she's choosing to show the torment that we as humans will be suffering and facing if we don't have a home with God. You know, in the school systems, they've taken all the sticks away. And they piled high with carrots. And we're not talking nutrition. They've taken all the discipline away. And they've given all the good things. Social promotion. I can fail a student, have F, 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 F. That's all right. They're going to fifth grade. They can't read. That's all right. They'll go on. Pass them on. Oh, we've got an award for every kid in your class. I know they burned the school down. That's okay. We'll give them an award. How are we in our own selves? Are we apathetic for Christ? are we apathetic for our own salvation? How you are for yourself is how you will do for your brethren. And how you do for your brethren will also, in turn, do for yourself. Laziness, we've already talked about that. I think we have up there John 21:15-17. But I'm also looking over there and the guy up here has talked a lot. What does it say here in this scripture? Jesus is saying to Simon, Peter, do you love me? He says, yeah. He says, feed my lambs. Second time, do you love me? Yeah. Tend my sheep. Verse 17, do you love me? You know, if you have somebody ask you the same question three times, don't you think there's something problematic here? And when you have the Savior, and you know the Son of God, now, I don't know at this point, but the point is that He knows Christ is the one He wants to emulate. Do you love my children? Do you love me? The third time, yes. And what does Jesus say? Feed my sheep. Have you fed your brethren? Have you encouraged them? Have you shared the gospel with your brethren to be? Laziness is another form of apathy that will destroy us. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 18, because of laziness, the building is to decay, and through idleness, the hands of the house leaks. Also in Proverbs 21:25, I'm going to quick for time's sake. The desire of a lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. Apathy comes from many forms of non-action don'ts. Matthew chapter 25:14-30. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who calls his own servants to deliver his goods to them. Oh, this is a long reading. Maybe I don't care. But I do care. Jump down to verse 24. Then he who had received the one talent came to him and said, Lord, I knew you are a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reaped where I had not sown, gathered where I had not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even that which he has will be taken away. And cast an unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, that sounds pleasant. I don't know about you. Getting over the fear of darkness is a challenge for a lot of us. Daddy, don't turn off the light. I know it's bedtime, but I don't want the light off. Why? I'm afraid of the dark. Without God, you will be in the dark. Gnashing of teeth, what does that tell you? Torment, pain, anguish, fear. Anything you can think of that's negative is going to be a gnashing of teeth. And a lot of it. Weeping? This is not fear, excuse me, weeping of joy. You put those things together, you know that you get the picture. Torment. We will each be accountable for our deeds and actions. And the lack of. Luke chapter 12, 45-46. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying in his coming, and begins to beat the male and the female servants and eat and drink and be drunk. What's he doing? Doing what he wants to do. Evil. The master of that servant will come on a day that he is not looking for him. And in that hour, when he is not aware, will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. You know, we say to him, God's not here yet. Oh, don't be so foolish. How many people do you know who have passed from this life suddenly? How about the 8-year-old in my school that died in her sleep? How about my cousin, 18? Each one of us knows somebody who has met a demise from this earth sooner than the expected time. Do you know your time? I don't. Where are we on this one? All right. How do we address it? Are we up there yet? All right. Well, let's get there. We can address it with spiritual nutrients. Nourishment. Does that mean you need to get yourself with some fried chicken and some dumplings? That's not what we're talking about here, is it? That's not why you're here. You're here to have a hope for this life, after this life. And how are you going to be strong if you don't know what to do to get to that life? We need spiritual nourishment. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I think we talked about that again this morning. For they shall be filled. How about John 6:35? And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Oh, we are feasting today, aren't we? He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And that's not physical. Bible study, how's that? When was the last time you cracked open your Bible? Oh, got to get the dust off of that thing. Quick, company's coming. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How about communication? When was the last time you truly, wholeheartedly, not just by rote, amen. Thank you for this food. Oh, yeah, amen. When was the last time you true wholeheartedly spoke to God, had true communion with Him, and be happy about it, and know what you just communicated was heard? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Without ceasing means that you're walking in. You are doing. It's part of your life. It's not a once a day. It's a part of your life. How about attendance? Yeah, you guys know this one. Yeah, you got to come to church because that scripture right there. Hebrews 10. But that's why you're coming here, just to soak up some oxygen in the room here and sit and have a nice warm pew. Yours... deluding yourself. That's not why you're here. That's not why you should be here. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Why are you here? Have you turned to your brethren here and said, I'm glad you're here. What can I do to help you? I'm here to be here for you. And that's what I'm hoping you are for me. That you are here for me. Not forsaking, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some, but exhorting. There you go. The word but. Now, you guys already know this, I hope. In the Scriptures, that conjunction but, what comes after the but is the important part. What comes before it? It's okay, it's good. But it's the emphasis on what's after the but. So let's look at that with that understanding. But, what was before the but? Coming together, right? But, exhorting one another, so much more that you see the day approaching. What day are we talking about? That we're no longer here. That we're in the day of judgment. You don't know when that is, neither do I. And if you know, please let me. Well, maybe don't tell me. Because I'd rather not know. Because if I knew, I might tell somebody, you know what humans do? Procrastinate. How about giving? Oh, I give $5. Yeah. Okay. If that's really what you have, and that's a fair percentage of what you are able to do, that's fine. Today, $5 is not much. Giving of your wealth in 1 Corinthians. Oh, by the way, consider this. If you've been in a campfire, and you have a nice ember, you give it all the embers, or barbecue, how's that one? Get all those embers together, you have a nice hot fire, and you may not have the flames, but you have a lot of heat. What happens if you take one of those coals out, set it off here? Now watch the difference between that pile of embers and that one individual ember over here. What happens to that one over there? Think about it. This over here stays toasty. That one over there gets cold and dies. Why? Because it's not part of the group that helps each other stay toasty. We need to be together. And that's why we should have brethren here. Giving of not just your wealth in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 2, but giving of yourselves, Romans 6, 13. I'm trying to be respectful of time. I'm moving a little bit longer. Romans 6, 13, and do not present yourselves, your members, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Brethren, how much do you do to prove, not only to yourself, but to others, you're trying to get to heaven, and you want them to? Doing. We need spiritual action. It's the do, not the don'ts. Remember, the apathy is the don't. That's the don't word. The do is the work. We need to do the work. We need a spiritual exercise. That means work. James 1, chapter 1, verse 22 through 27. James is a fantastic book. Let's see. This concept that Calvin came out and said, oh, faith only. That's all you got to do is have faith in God. And that's all you'll have to do. And what? What'd you say, Satan? You want to listen to Satan's faith only? James, the whole book of James, read that thing. The Calvinists, the Baptists, they don't want you to read James. They'd like to have that thing out of the Bible. James, the whole thing, pretty much telling you, faith is needed, but works has to go with it. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 27, be doers of the word, and not hearers only. Deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing a natural face in the mirror. We talked about that earlier, just a few moments ago. You have to be a doer. Dropping down to verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. It even gives an example down in verse 27. visiting orphans and widows and the troubled, and keeping yourself unspotted from the world. Those are some things that are doers. They give some examples of what doers do. Consider Paul and others who use these doer words. I started to in this lesson having scripture after scripture after scripture as reference. But brethren, I want you to really truly look on your own time while you're feasting at home. Look up how many scriptures talking about walk or walking. Fight, fighting. Run, running. Putting the armor on. These are phrases. Oh, how about work and working? These are phrases that are non-apathetic. These are all do's. Brethren, we need to do. That's what's killing our congregations. Is the apathy that society has that's been brought on by Satan. And it's a little by little. Now, I don't remember if there's notes up there or not, but do you know how much, you know what rat poison is? It's 95% good food. Really good food. Rats love it. It's the 5% poison they don't taste. Well, it gets them in the end, of course. And that's what Satan feeds us. That's what Calvin came along. Oh, you know, we want to study the Bible, but, you know, that faith only. You just have to add a little poison. That's okay. Oh, once saved, always saved. Oh, that's okay. Or how about, you don't really have to do that. Yes, you do. If you want to get to heaven. That's that little two-letter word, if. In conclusion, do you understand apathy is sin? It will keep you and me from heaven. If we can't figure out how to do for Christ what He has done for us, He has worked. Now, are we doing that example? Are we also working? Do you have love for your brethren? How about for yourself? You're not going to get there without somebody else going with you. You're not going to get to heaven unless you can say to yourself in your heart and mind, I helped that person right there also. Did you have to baptize them? Not necessarily. But the day of judgment, are you going to have somebody standing there, thank you for helping me know the gospel? Or are you going to be the ones, well, you know, I buried the talent you gave me, Lord. Brethren, I told you to pick up your feet. I'm standing on mine, but mine are hurting. Because I'm preaching to myself too. This is not a you problem. It's not a me only problem. It's a our problem. And we need to get that coal that's out there, that brother that's out there, that's not been attending that's out there. That brother or sister who's hurting. And we have not visited them. We have not called them. We have not written letters. We have not shown our love. If you have not taken that ember and you have not tried to bring that ember back into the toastiness of God's love, then shame on us. And we will answer for that. The day of judgment when the judge of all judges, depart from me, you who work iniquity. Brethren, don't be on that side. Get to heaven. Get to heaven. And the only way you're going to get to heaven is do what God has told us to do. Love as Christ has shown us. And not have the apathy. Brethren, I thank you for your time. Like I said, this lesson wasn't just for you. It's for every single person in this whole world, and I'm included. Brethren, if you've had an apathetic issue, that you've been walking in apathy, get out of that mud and get yourself clean and start walking in love and light and start trying to help others get out of the mud too. That's the only way we're going to get there. Normally there's a song lead that would be something different than me, I suppose. But at this point, there are several reasons for coming forward. The only reason for coming forward is to show the congregation I want to make a change. Or I need some help. If it's a prayer that you need a prayer to help you to get past whatever apathetic or issue you've been having. Or you've had some issues where you're struggling with it. Whether it be private, and most of the time it's public. If you got a private issue that you just can't seem to get over, and you've had other brethren helping you, you need somebody else's helping. Coming forward says, I want to be saved. And your example of coming forward very well might save that person, that ember that's over there. I'm going to tell you my own personal. When I was 11 or 12, I got dunked. It was a race to the front of the building. The night before, there was a bunch of boys that got together. And I'm going to go forward and get baptized. Oh, really? Me too. It was a race of five boys. I won. Get in the front. I got dunked that day. I had all the right answers. But was I doing it? For what reason? Competition. Oh, me too. I wasn't doing it for God. I wasn't doing it for me. I wasn't doing it for Christ. Then about 17, I watched somebody go forward. And she went forward and says, you know what? I was dunked when I was younger, but I didn't do it for the right reason. And it snapped in my head. I hadn't either. And not much longer after that, I went forward and I also got baptized. Not dunked. Baptized. For the remission of my sins, so that my sins would be gone. And I could start walking towards heaven. There's a difference there. You're going forward helps other people. It seems that we have in our congregations of churches of Christ that, oh, it's a pride thing. Oh, I can't go forward because, you know, it might look bad on me or my family. Well, how about you're not helping others? If you've got an issue that you need help with, salvation, and it's public, you need to come forward. If you're not right with God, you better take care of it. You can't take care of it in a public, private matter, and you're not taking care of God that way. You better come forward. You better get the repentance down. And that's what this whole point in the lesson is right after the lesson, we typically and traditionally have a come forward. But it's usually just to give you an opportunity to say, get yourself right. Walk right. And now's a good opportunity. So, in keeping with that, oh, and by the way, it doesn't have to be this moment in time all the time, does it? Because guess what happened for me? It was Sunday after we went home. And on the way home, I finally had it. And I said, nope, I was not really truly baptized. I told my dad, I said, can we turn the car back around and go back? Well, there was no cell phones back then. He says, well, we're only a few minutes from the house. Let me call some few folks. So we called about five folks and went back to the building. Was it right after that lesson? No. Don't wait. The moment you see you have a need, take care of it. Just happens to be a traditional nice time right now. But don't wait. So, don't be apathetic. Get to heaven.